This morning, I'm hoping, I know what Dave is saying, but I'm hoping not that I would prick our hearts, but I'm trusting that God would come and cut our hearts, okay? The difference between those two things. So the thing about us as humans, and just what I feel like for us this morning, is that there's a couple of things that we are quite good at doing. We don't often give ourselves the credit, and I believe there's something of most of us are experts at this, and there's potentially even some really good experts here even among us. And the thing that it is that we are experts at creating convenience. Would you agree with me? We are experts at making our life as easy as possible. Like taking out all the things that are making it difficult and making it easy for ourselves. I don't know if you're like me, but that is what I try to do. I'm not yet an expert, and I think I need to learn from some of you. But we love to make things convenient, and we tend to shy away from anything that is a struggle. We all have the posters, you know, those black posters, and it's got a picture of a mountain or something, and then under that picture, there's like this little quote of how to climb the mountain or how to be like this. Have you guys seen those posters? They're usually in doctors or lawyers, offices. I am a guy that loves tech, okay? I'm a techie guy. I love gadgets. And fortunately, okay, you get me on that? My wife and my bank doesn't agree with that, okay? They don't like the fact that I like gadgets, okay? And that's what I'm saying. It's unfortunately, but also fortunate. And I've managed to set up some like really rudimentary, like smart home things of like, if I get home at a certain time, then the garage light on the inside goes on, and you know, just some small things because I like it. And just, you can do that, so why not? Why make it difficult for yourself? It's convenient, okay? And then one day, if I have a house of my own and I can hopefully have the bank account for it, like, I'll make it a smart house. I love the movie Iron Man. I don't know if you can remember the movie, but Tony Stark, played by Robert Downey Jr. Sorry, my words got a bit mixed up there. He plays Tony Stark, and he's got this house. And in this house, he's got Jarvis. And he speaks to Jarvis. And I mean, everyone, no matter how young or how old you are, you hear that, and as a guy, you go like, man, I so badly want a Jarvis. I want to be able to, and it's not that I'm lonely, but man, Jarvis, like, he just, like, I would love to have him say, good morning, Rian, how are you doing? Like, the weather is a chill amount of this. The waves are looking good today. I think you should be going and surfing this morning, and I've put the coffee machine on for you. Now, I have a smart home, but my smart home is a person. It's my wife. And I can just say, Helen. It's not a Jarvis, but it is Helen. And I'm very thankful for Helen. I'm getting so off track here. The point is, we love convenience. We love things that are easy. We want to just, and when things do start becoming a struggle, we tend to ask ourselves, man, what got me here? What is this? Like, did I do something wrong? Well, this must be wrong. And this morning, I have a very important question for us regarding this. And I believe it's important for us for this time of our lives, not just for us that's here in Edgemead 8:30, because God is doing something new, but I believe if you are someone that says, I believe in Jesus and the work and His gospel, if you are someone that says, I believe in Him, I believe this morning I've got an important question for you to answer. And it's not to answer to me. It's actually you need to answer this morning to the Lord, because you say that you believe in Him, you believe in His gospel, and you are making it your own. And so this morning for us, I believe there is an important question that I need to ask us. And fortunately, unfortunately, it is important that not one of us think that I don't need to answer this question. Because all of us, if you believe in Jesus, will one day have to answer this question. Whether you do it now or whether you do it later in front of Him. And that's what I'm saying. It's fortunate, but unfortunately, we can't run away from it. And so you might be visiting here with us this morning. And you go like, hey, I'm not part of this church. I'm just coming to look at things. I'm not part of having to build Edgemead 830, this new congregation that's been planted. I just come to check you out. The reality is, you're going to still have to answer this question, whether you're part of us or not. So, let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank You this morning, that as we are here together, God, that You have appointed this time and this moment for us to be together and to be with You. And I thank You that in Your Holy Spirit, God, that for each and every one of us that's here this morning, that You know exactly the place where our hearts are at, where our minds are at, the struggles that we're facing, the things that is looking for our attention, the questions that we have, the things that we need to overcome. God, You know us intimately, each and every one of us. And I thank You, God, that You meet us right here where we are at. That there's not one of us this morning that can say, God, You don't understand. And I pray this morning that as Your word comes out, Lord, that each and every one of us would find that place of where You're actually calling us towards Yourself. Where You're calling us out of darkness into Your marvelous light, into Your will, into Your kingdom. And I pray for us, God, that we would be those who are bold and courageous to answer Your call. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, before I ask my question, I'm going to let you hang a little bit longer. Okay. So this is one of those intense movies that just keeps you on your seat. I'm joking. This is not a movie. The thing about convenience, and how in the Western world we have come into living lives of convenience, there's been some serious repercussions on that. That we potentially today sitting here are not even thinking about, not even thinking that these things are repercussions and ripple effects of how convenient our lives are. Like, you don't need to be any kind of rich to have 2-minute noodles. 2-minute noodles, super convenient. If you had to make noodles, it's going to take time, it's going to take effort, but yet now, for I think $2.99, you can, I don't know, much more expensive than that. Okay, I don't go to the shops. It's my wife. It's my smart home that is making sure that I've got food in the house. Okay, no, it's like, you can go buy a packet, and in 2 minutes, you have a whole meal that can sustain you. Sort of. Okay. You get what I'm saying, guys. You get what I'm saying. But what it's doing in us, it steals away from us the ability to think about, to struggle through, to wrestle through the process of taking flour, eggs and water and salt and working it through all the way to become noodles. And so what seems as convenience, actually at the end of the day, steals away from us things that are actually important. That ability to push through. An ability to accomplish something. I mean, it feels like in our day and age, I mean, there's a lot more foodies around than what there used to be. To say, like, if I hear someone that knows how to make their own pasta, I'm all of a sudden go, oh, I need to have you over. You need to come do this for me. Because I don't know how to make pasta. I know how to do 2-minute noodles. But I haven't put the time in to make pasta, to learn how to do it. Because why? Fatties and monies, 2-minute noodles, it's easy. And that concept plays off in so many areas of our life. It plays off in our finances. It plays off in our time, how we manage our time. It plays off actually in our relationships, in how we interact with one another, how we, the things that we expect from one another. When a person becomes inconvenient to me and it becomes work and it becomes struggle to me, how all of a sudden go like, is this really a relationship that I actually want to go at? Do you guys agree with me? Does it connect with your hearts? Because why? Why will I struggle if everything else is easy? Why would I struggle? And I believe ultimately this is an effect with even how we see God and how we live out our life in front of God. So, not my question, but some other questions I want to ask you first. Think about this. How much effort does it take for you to get angry? How much determination? How much belief? How much do you need to put into it to get angry? I don't need an answer. I know the answer. You need to answer yourself. Driving down the road, here comes Pete from Joburg, GP. Puts his flicker light on, and you've been standing in this row waiting to get into this lane that is like just as far as the east is from the west long. And Pete comes with his GP, Toyota Bucky, puts his flicker light on and puts his nose right in front of you, and there Pete goes. And you've been standing there. How much does it take for you to get angry at that moment? I can tell you about me, nothing. It takes no effort for me to really completely lose it. Hey? Oh, completely. I'm not completely lose it. You get what I'm saying. I'm being dramatic here, people. I like it. Most people in the beginning of the year, you decide, this year, I'm going to wake up early. I'm going to read my Bible. Spend time with God. And that first morning, you try and do that. Now, all of a sudden, you don't struggle to sleep anymore. Now, all of a sudden, you don't struggle to stay asleep anymore. It's like, all of a sudden, the world has just allowed you to sleep. And you just can't wake up with no effort. Or, you come to church, and we're saying, hey, we're planning a congregation. We need people to serve. We need people to volunteer for kids' church. And you, there's something in you. Go like, oh, I want to do that. But then the moment you make that decision, okay, I am going to send Marianne a message to say, I want to do kids' church. And it's like you're typing that message out. And all of a sudden, all the things of, okay, but what about this? It means I've got an early mornings. It means I've got a, like, oh man, can I do it? And all of a sudden, there is like anxiety and fear and resistance in your heart because you're not deciding to do something. And all of a sudden, you realize this is going to make my life inconvenient. Ooh, I don't know if I've got the capacity for it. Maybe we should do it later a bit in the year just to see how things settle. Or how about this? We're in worship. The band is giving themselves this short pastor, elder, whatever, comes up and says, "Hey guys, it's time for us to get out of our comfort zones." Like Rian always does this, takes us out of our comfort zone. And he says, "Hey, get out of your box, get out of your house. Maybe just step out and do a little jig. Or just try and get your hands up. Just that there's more than just what you are used to and what you're comfortable with." And in that moment, you go, "I can see what he's saying. I don't want to, but I'm going to try this." And you go like, "No, you can't get my hand to go up." Because that hand going from year to year, you all of a sudden feel like you're on the world stage and everybody is looking at you. And it's inconvenient. It's potentially, And that struggle that we all of a sudden find within ourselves, these are all repercussions of a convenient life. Life my way. What's easiest to me. And it's even sometimes how we come to God, we go, "Jesus is the answer to a more convenient life. Because man, I don't want to go to hell. I've heard what that's about. And it sounds pretty inconvenient. I need that insurance policy. And so Jesus, here's my life. It is yours. Actually, I'm serving you out of convenience. Not out of understanding who you are. Because if I did understand who Jesus truly is, I would realize that convenience and the gospel is as far as the east is from the west." So let's quickly look at that. In James 4, I'm going to read us a scripture. It's going to be a little bit of a hefty, longer scripture, but I think it's good for us. "What is causing the quarrels and the fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. What do you think the scriptures mean when they say that the Spirit of God has placed within us is filled with envy? But He gives us even more grace to stand against such evil desires. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives favor or puts favor to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world." It's an interesting scripture. Something that we have to answer to. Not to me, not to one another, but to the Lord. So my question this morning, the big question, is this. Can we give an account to God for the Spirit that He has placed inside of us? And that account, when you look at the balance sheet, will it say friend of the world? Or will it say friend of God? What would that say at the end of the day? Because through the scripture verse 5, it says, do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate that the spirit that he has placed within us should be faithful to him. It says it a little bit differently there, but like that spirit that God has placed inside of us, God is looking for a return. God is looking for a return and a harvest on what he has given us. And what I find within myself, and what I find when speaking to people, is that sometimes we think and or we're unaware of how the enemy works. And instead of leaning into the inconvenient and things that actually is a struggle, not because we're just wanting to be martyrs and let's make it as difficult as possible. No, because we want to recognize that everything inside of me, everything about me, wants convenience. And the moment I give in to convenience, I start switching off. I stop learning. I stop discovering. I stop thinking about what it takes. I stop producing effort. And so it puts me in this automation mode of where I don't have to think about things anymore. It just happens. I love it. I've got a friend of mine. You go into his house and some of his lights are automatic. You walk into the room and, hey, didn't need to push a button. It's just the room knows I am here. You feel special every day you walk into that room because the lights go on. I put the lights on without touching anything. I'm just there. I remember my kids, they have been fortunate in some ways where they've never had to learn how to put a window down or put a window up. And so one day we were talking, when Helen and myself got married, we had like this red little Mazda Sting, which really is a can with wheels. But it was a faithful can of wheels. But that thing had no electric anything except the lights and the battery. And the windows, you had to work for it if you wanted fresh air. And one day, Gerbrand, he had like a bakkie, and my kids were, I think he left his bakkie with me, and it was something like that, and we drove in the bakkie. And my girls were watching me do this with the windows, and they were going like, what is that? Like, what does this thing do? Because they were always just used to a window that has a button that goes, boom, boom. They didn't know that you have to wind this thing up. And that concept is the same, that even in God, that we can sometimes miss out on things because we don't understand that actually some things are inconvenient. The things of God doesn't come automatic. And this scripture that we just read showed it to us. Actually, the thing that comes automatic is the wars and the desires that is within me. It takes me no effort to get mad. It takes me no effort to envy. It takes me no effort to fight. Because those things are all there in me. What takes effort from me is in the moment when something happens and somebody has wronged me, that I go, stop, Rian. Don't react. Don't respond. Don't get angry. Love. How can I love? This is so painful. This person has hurt me. No, the gospel, love. This person has been unfair. Love, submit. Like, be humble. It takes effort. It takes me to go, oh God, I need your grace. There's nothing convenient about that. What is convenient is paying. You've given me a slap and I slap you back. One for one. And that's how the world works. Is that how we should work? Is that what the gospel speaks to us about? And if we take that and we apply it to our lives, we will quickly realize that in our lives, in our finances, in our time, in our the plans and the purposes that we believe God is for us, we want to do the same thing because that's the muscle memory. Instead, what the scripture speaks about, it says, you don't have because you don't ask. Oh God, this is a difficult situation. God, I wanna put my faith out there, God, to start serving in kids. But man, God, it's difficult. These small little kids are super intimidating. It's difficult to wake up early. It's difficult to put myself out there. Like Matt has said, hey, I haven't been here for a while, but hey, here I am. It's difficult. It's difficult to say, cool, this word, God, that you've given me, I don't know if it's from you. Man, I even have a little bit of doubt. But sure, God, I need your grace. And that's what that scripture says. You don't have because you don't ask. God gives his grace generously. If only we were to trust him. If only we were to say, God, we're not in this for convenience sake. We are willing to go where it's difficult. We are willing to go where it's inconvenient. We are willing to go where it actually needs us to have you come through, otherwise it fails. And this is not a message because we're going like I were planting a congregation. No, every believer that says, I believe, every person that says, I believe in Jesus and the gospel that he has saved my life will one day have to answer this. Because that's the Spirit of God that's working out in us. It's working that thing through. It's that I die to myself and I live and come alive to the plans, the purposes, the desires, the love, the grace of Jesus and him alone. That I look like him at the end of the day. And that takes work. I need to finish up. I want to say this quickly, that the enemy will do everything he can to stop you from saying yes to God, from saying yes to the plans and the purposes of God. He will stop you from saying, God, I want to serve you with all of my life. God, I want to give you everything I have. And he will stop you in different ways, through people, even people that you trust. He will, through different questions and fears. For someone that doesn't actually know who God is, to say to them, hey, we pay tithe, we pay a tenth of our finances every single month to God. Are you stupid? How do you know these people? What are they going to do with your money? Cool, you want to pay it for God, but you're still paying it into a real bank account and these people that manage that bank account. I go, I'm giving it to God. What those people do it with in the bank account, God's going to sort them out. But because of who I know God to be, I don't need to be afraid of what people think or how they are going to do it. No, I need to be obedient to God, who God is. Does that make sense to us? And so those things happen that when we then have to pay tithe, or when we want to pay our tithe, then all of a sudden you've got the cars breaking, your tires went flat this morning, the petrol price went up, this person decided to bomb that person, and you go, oh my word, this 10% can help me a lot. And you go, wait, no, not me. Just do hastig about this. But what it never does is you miss out on an opportunity to believe in God, to have faith in who He is, and then to see God come through on His behalf. You actually miss out on the work of God in your own life. That kids' church, or serving, or coffee, or worship, that we're saying like, hey, step out in these things. If you think that because you have the ability, you can do it, you're probably going to miss out on seeing God come through on your behalf and working through you things that you didn't even know was in you. God is wanting us to trust in Him and step out and say, God, with You, we'll do this. Quickly listen to this. In Jeremiah 33, He says this, verse 2 to 3, He says, this is what the Lord says. The Lord who made the earth, who formed and established it, whose name is the Lord. Ask me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come. It's like God is going like, hey, I'm the one that created everything. If you for a moment would trust me enough, approach me, ask me, I will show you. And this is the second time that God is saying to His people, hey, ask me, trust in me. Jeremiah 29, we know the scripture of God saying, hey, what I have towards you is thoughts of peace and not of evil, for you to have a plan and a future. We love quoting that scripture. But He's saying it to a people that are disobedient, a people that have denied Him, that have rebelled against Him. And He's going, in that place of rebellion, I am saying to you, even there still, if you call out to me, I'm able to bring you through. Because what I have for you is bigger than what you can imagine. And it's not because it's about you. It's because the Spirit of God is within us. God is jealous about it. And He wants to show His Spirit as this is everything that it is. God is willing to come with all that He has and make you and me stand firm in this life. See His goodness, see His glory come to fulfillment all around us. But it's going to take for us to make some decisions. It's not going to come automatically. It's not going to be convenient. It's not going to be something that just falls in our laps. It's something that we're going to have to say, God, here today I'm drawing a line. I'm going to trust You. I'm going to trust You. In the struggle, I'm going to trust You until I find breakthrough. Not so that I can say, oh, look what I've done, but because this is who You are. This is who You say You are. This is who You say, what You say You're going to do. And I'm going to trust You for that. I believe that God wants to come and do great things through us as individuals, as a family, as a church. But it's going to need for us to answer that question. What is the account? What account am I giving to the Spirit of God that is residing inside of me? Am I just using it to serve my own selfish needs? Ask for the things that is the wrong intentions? Or am I actually saying, God, I believe in You? And then verse 7, He says this. So humble yourselves. Different translations says, so submit to God. So it's humble yourself and submit. It's the posture, I'm just doing it so that everyone can see me. It's the posture of where we're not coming going like, cool, I know. But it's like, cool, God, I don't actually know. Like, I'm bowing before You. I'm submitting. I'm acknowledging that you are greater than whatever I can come up with or whatever strength I have. No, it's like saying, God, I humble myself before you. Submit yourselves to God. Humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil. Can you tell me, does that sound convenient? Doesn't. Does it sound easy or without struggle? No, it doesn't. Dirk, I haven't planned on this and I need to end up, but quickly come here. Dirk is a big guy. Just stand right there. Look at me. If I want to get past Dirk, I need Dirk to actually resist me. So Dirk, you're going to resist me now. Okay, don't worry. Okay, I'm okay. You can, don't punch me. Okay. It says resist, not punch. Okay. So I'm going to try and come. You need to resist with everything that you have. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Dirk. He did well. That's what resisting looks like. It's saying to the enemy, I'm not bringing you in here. It's saying to myself, I'm not giving up here. No, I'm pushing through. I'm taking this on until the moment that God comes through. And what does it continue to say? It says, submit yourselves. Humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil. And what happens then? The devil will flee from you. Why? Because he sees that this is a place where he can't go. So in that moment when that feeling comes, when you're sitting alone in your room, and there's thoughts of, man, I am alone, or I'm depressed, or life doesn't make sense, or you take out your phone and there's things that you want to go into your phone and you go, I know this is a slippery slope. It's going to lead to pain. It's going to lead to shame. It's going to, like in that moment, those are the moments that we need to go, oh God, I want to call out to you. I submit myself to you, God. I want to resist the devil. I don't have what it takes, God, but help me. I'm going to do everything I have with what I have until, God, you come through. And then when God comes through, it's like the enemy leaves the door because God has brought light into the situation. And it's like that for every situation in our lives. Every decision that we're making in terms of where God is, what He wants to do, His plans, His purposes, it takes everything from us. What takes no effort for us is to just give Him. Convenient. The problem with it is, it always leaves us poorer. It always leaves us more broken. It always leaves us, because it looks like the grass is green, but you realize it's not. Have you ever seen that? Go to someone, look at their lawn, realize, wow, what does that guy do with his grass? Wish my grass can look like that. And you go stand on it and you realize, wow, there's a whole bunch of holes here. It's like there's thorns here. It's never as green as what it looks. I believe it's a time for us where we need to submit ourselves to the Lord and start walking out this deposit of His Spirit that He's placed inside of us and actually start fighting the enemy or fighting more ourselves in this so that we can walk out the plans and purposes of God. And so I'm ending here.